Blog Talk Radio.
Drink. I need a drink, man.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masses. Break it down.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're back on a Sunday. It is the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio, guys. Sean Black.
You sure this is actually the Absolute Truth and not WrestleMania?
I don't know. I have to switch it up. Switch it up a little bit. But yes. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio with the host, with the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod, and on the phone lines, I have the one, the only.
Yes, it is I, Sean Black, in the building once again. And there's is there somebody supposed to be with us?
Let me click. Hello? Is there somebody over there?
Hello?
Oh, I guess not.
Hello?
Scary part,
it
you
is
so
I.
Much.
It,
it,
oh,
it
just...
is I, you jackasses. Such a jackass. Yes, Anitra B is not here today because she is a little bit underneath the weather, as she said. Because last night she went to a wedding, you know, had a great time. And, all right, I cannot lie to you guys. This is absolute truth. She had a threesome last night, and she's very tired. But she was going all night long. So she said she's underneath the weather. Yes, she was underneath the bed doing her thing. But other than that, the show must go on. And let's get the thing started. Sean B, what time is it?
It's time to piss people off.
Of course. And the number to call is 347-989-8402. That is 347-989-8402. And you're a female, you like to co-host the show with us? Please call in. We welcome you since Anitra B is in the bathroom. I mean, it's home sick.
Good grief. I'm sure listening, if she's able to listen to it, she's not feeling much better.
Trust me, she's too busy right now with a couple of people. Well, besides that...
Good grief. What's on tap, my friend?
Right now, the Jets are being tied with the Patriots. Oh, no, the Patriots are winning right now. Go figure. But let's get on to something serious.
Yeah, well, you said you wanted to piss people off, so I think you just pissed off a bunch of Jet fans, so...
Hey, listen, that's their problem. I got the Giants to worry about in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not my fault. The Jets suck.
Oh boy.
Okay. I'm sorry, guys. Let's focus once again. In the past shows, Sean Black, Anitra B, and I, and the rest of the Absolute Truth Show crew, have talked about how Khan's been killing on men, especially black men, and now the table has turned. In New York City. Officer Randall Holder was an active cop risking his life to take guns, drugs, and purse off the street before a lifelong criminal allegedly shot him to death in East Harlem on late Tuesday. Sean Black, can you tell us a little bit more about this story?
Yes, which is quite the sad, sad story. This happened on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, actually. As you just stated, Officer Randolph Holder, he was called to duty because there was a robbery of a man's bike that was being the owner of the bike was being held at gunpoint. The bike was stolen by the person by the name of Tyrone Howard. Officer Holder, eventually with him and his partner, they went after the guy, at which point Howard turned the gun on the cop and pulled out the gun, shot Holder in the head, where he died hours later at the hospital. The suspect was then he had moved toward Holder's partner, who then drew his gun and fired. Eventually, The suspect was arrested, taken down to the police, but as I just stated before, Officer Randolph Holder passed away at the hospital, age 30. It's ridiculous how these things seem to be happening over something as meaningless as a bicycle. But this is going to bring up an even bigger epidemic, so to speak, as we just alluded to earlier. We've talked about how many times we've heard of either innocent or questionable suspects being shot by police. Now we're starting to see police that are doing their job getting killed, and this has become an epidemic. Just in New York this year, we've had 4 officers shot in the line of duty. And overall in the country, we've had over 30 police officers killed, including 2 in California, 2 in Illinois, and we've had 6 in Louisiana just this year, from January to up to this point in this year. And we're talking in a range from ages 21 to 64. We're starting to see police officers being killed. We know police officers have a tremendously dangerous job. We know that they have a very hard job to do. But at the same time, a lot of these police officers are being killed, and some instances are off duty. Some are risking their lives saving someone or just attending to a normal routine call where something like this happens. Now, the problem with this was the suspect that shot Officer Holder, he has a huge record involved in the past. And what we have to figure out is, why is it that these suspects that have been jailed or have been arrested, how do they get back on the streets? That's what I'd like to find out.
For the record, I believe he was arrested like 19 times.
Yeah, exactly. 19 priors. It's ridiculous. I don't understand how a person that has that many priors is able to get into the streets and actually be able to offend once again. But to kind of steer it away from that, take a look at the actual person, the police officer that was actually killed. Officer Holder, native of Guyana, his son, his father and his grandfather were also both police officers. Officer Holder was on the NYPD police force for 5 years, had an exemplary arrest record, did a tremendous job in his community. He helped people out all the time. And the saddest part about this was he had just was about to close on a home with his longtime girlfriend, and they were about to move into this house that they were planning to build their family and start their lives together. And at the young age of 30, his life is over just like that. And it's getting to the point where we don't know what to do now. What's going on?
Well, the judge that let him free a couple of times, like, he didn't know. It was one of those things, like, would have, could have, should have, but no one did it. So who do you blame overall in this type of situation?
I blame the system, from the sense that it doesn't seem to be helping out at all. We have way too many people having these issues of repeat offenders, getting out on technicalities. We have also on the other side of it, where we have people that don't need to be incarcerated or incarcerated for long periods of time, actually go in and they're in jail for years and years and years for something that shouldn't even be an offense in certain instances. So I think that we have to look at the way the system is, and as I've stated before, you have to go to congressmen, your aldermen, someone in your local government officials, your senators, and try to find out how to get some of these laws changed and make sure that the implementation of a lot of these laws, they're doing what they're supposed to do to keep the bad guys away from offending again.
So, okay. I'm sorry, Sean, but you know how to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
As this show goes on and we talk about these cops being killed or killing other people, are we ourselves being oxymorons or being hypocrites? Because in the past shows, like I said, we all talk about South Carolina, these cops that kill unarmed men, and we get upset how these killings keep going, keep happening over and over. And here we are right now, paying our respects to an officer that got killed on a line of duty.
Yeah.
So either we have to say one thing or another thing. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can understand. The sad part about it is, when you look at the statistics that are going on, what we're starting to see is, one, we all know that incarceration in not just New York City or New York State, but in the entire country, we have more people in jail in any other nation in the civilized world. There are more people in prison. Obviously, we know that prison, a lot of these prisons make lots of money off of having people in their prisons. So we have to worry about that. Second of all, we have to also look at the fact that why are we starting to see this revolving door of potential criminals getting out where they're not rehabilitated? And it doesn't seem like jail seems to be working. So we have to figure out something going on. And as far as the police officers involved, the arresting officers, we know of people, we have friends and have known people in general that are in law enforcement. So we know by finding out what they go through on a daily basis, it's a trying, tough job. When we've stated before, people that get into the force, they're put in different situations that they're uncomfortable in. They don't know what's going on. Though there have to be better training in some instances, and also to revise some of the issues that are going on.
Okay, but do you see this as, once again, another gun control problem? The shooter probably did not get his gun at the regular store. Most likely he got it off the street.
Probably. I'm pretty sure that that's the case, yeah.
Yeah, but he only took one bullet to took the officer's whole life away.
Yeah.
So once again, how is this part of the gun problem that we
the part the reason energy? Here's the issue. If it's behind the gun problem that we have now, we have too many guns in the streets in general. So we have to find out, one, how they're getting on the streets, and second of all, how to get them off. Now, the other thing also is there has to be some sort of an incentive, like we've seen on TV and in certain instances where you will have particular programs where people that have illegal guns can get amnesty by, I guess, whenever they run the program, bring your guns in, we'll give you a gift certificate, you won't be charged, you won't get a record, you can bring your guns to, I think they do them in little churches or at the police station, and then we'll exchange this for a gift certificate somewhere, or money, or some sort of gift card, something along those lines to bring in an incentive to get these guns off the streets. But also, you got to find out where they're coming from and how they're getting into the state and in the city and locally into the streets. That's bigger issues than anything else.
Well, it seems like nowadays it's more easier to get a gun, as we always discuss, now than it was in the past.
Yeah.
Like, you can get your gun from anywhere. And let's say when you do that program, you have to be careful. I'm sorry to say, when you turn your gun in, but you don't know the agenda behind it. Yes, you can go to a local church and they give a gift card, but ladies and gentlemen, those gift cards have tracking numbers on them.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're into the whole conspiracy theory of, you know, well, there's an ulterior motive for this, here's your gift card to go buy toys for your kids, but we know that you had a gun, so don't be stupid or we'll figure out what you're using that gift card for. You know, if you're going to subscribe to that, yeah, but you want to know something, there has to be something done. There have to be programs on the ground level to stop kids in general from having to go and get guns on the street. There have to be programs to help kids out so that they have things other than violence and other than being on the streets. Mentoring programs. We need more money from the city level, and I should say from the state level, to trickle into the local level, like the YMCA and other mentoring programs to get young youths off the street and help them get into a better situation. Because if they don't, we're going to have more and more of this. We're going to have robberies and people getting stuck. You remember back in the 80s when you used to look at it on TV, the New York City area was like Dodge City. I mean, elderly people couldn't walk the streets safe. Kids couldn't walk the streets safe. Nobody could walk the streets safe. You couldn't go to a public park without something going wrong. So we don't want a return to that. And I think nationwide we don't want to see that happen either.
True. So I want to go back to the prison part.
Okay.
Prison thing, I don't think prison still have a fat as it used to be back then. Now, when you go to prison or go to jail, you get 3 meals a day, clean clothes, cable, and a workout facility.
Yeah.
I see more benefits being in prison than being homeless.
And the fed, you know, there's an equation to that also. I mean, how many times have we seen, you know, in the news, people that, around the time of the year when it gets really, really cold or where it gets really, really hot, and you see the homeless in the streets or in the subway systems or somewhere else, and they're trying to get them in the homeless shelter so that they don't either freeze to death or die of heat stroke. And they would rather stay on the streets than in the homeless shelters. But yet, if you're a prisoner or you get arrested, you actually have some kind of shelter. You get, like you just stated, you get 3 meals, you get 3 squares, as they call them, a cot, you get some exercise, and there you go.
And who's paying for that? Us taxpayers. We're paying for that. And that's how they make the money. So I'm like, it's like, I understand it's a give and take, but if I'm going to jail, hey, only thing I have to do is not drop the soap, I'd be okay, right?
Oh, so, good grief.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was about to say because I just thought about the drama of the soap thing. Do you see this as a new trend right now of retaliation, of killing cops?
This has actually been going on for a while. I think it seems to be something more along the lines of retaliation crimes going up because it's now becoming much more mainstream news-wise. We're seeing a lot more instances of that happening. So from the standpoint of, well, this is some kind of an issue, I don't think it's a problem as much as it always has been. And I think it's been now to we're at the point where we have to learn and find out why they're happening, why these things are happening. And if they continue to happen, is it going to be some kind of is this going to have a separate division in the police department where you have these crimes against cops in general, and that will start to go up? So who knows what's going to happen? And on the police level, the sensitivity training from trying to figure out certain things at the ground level so that we can find out how to stop these from getting any worse.
True, but I just feel that I agree with you 100%. I just feel that people outside right now, especially these young minds, especially due to social media and media themselves, are brainwashing these people to hate the cops.
Mm.
With all the madness that's been going on for the last couple of years. Think about it. For example, let's turn the tables. An officer risked his life and got killed by this guy. We all sad. Well, let's turn the picture. Let's turn it the way around. This cop has shot the guy. How will people will react to that?
Especially since the person, if you're talking about flipping the argument, the person that shot the cop was black. Now, if we're going to go into that realm, we know that race is going to play a tremendous deal on anything that you bring up. But even more so when we're talking about relations between the police and any kind of perpetrator or alleged perpetrator. And that's the problem. We have to go beyond that racial standpoint. But we also know that it's definitely going to be a completely different thing where we all know the attention is going to be, what color is he? That's the first question that most people pop up when they hear a crime happen. Oh, this guy shot a cop, or this cop shot a guy. I bet you he was black. Or I bet you he was Hispanic. Or was he white? You never hear that question. And I think that if that's the case, then you have to find out why that is the baseline answer for everybody and just forget about race and try to clean up the situation in general. But we know that's not going to happen.
Well, talk about race and gun control. Was there another shooting that happened this past week, a campus shooting or a school shooting?
Yes, that is correct. There was a school shooting in Tennessee, I believe, where and this is the thing that was really odd. The shooting happened on campus. It was over a dice game, which is ridiculous. I guess the person's arguing over money for a dice game that he didn't get from the game and pulled out his gun, started shooting. I believe one person is dead, and I think three other people were injured. These kinds of things happening, I don't know about, you know, how many killings you're hearing at a dice game, but in general, these kinds of crimes, things that happen on campus, as we've talked last week and weeks prior about some kinds of school shootings. Just to reiterate a question that I know you wanted to bring up last week that we didn't get a chance to, was that would cops actually be better off in schools or in churches with guns to make sure that certain things don't happen in these kinds of places? I don't know if that's the right way to go, but we'll have to find out. Some way, shape, or form, something has to change. And we're seeing way too many instances at schools and the police, security guards, whoever's there, with gun violence happening on an almost epidemic level. We seem to be hearing about something happening every other week on a campus, on a school ground. Something has to change, and I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon.
Oh, you sound like a passionate man. Oh.
Yeah, passionate enough to get tired of hearing about the same kind of crap happening on the news every day or every other week. That's what it seems like happening.
It's very true. And for the record, ladies and gentlemen, this is not the sexism, racism, cop killing, mass shooting show. We try to come up with different topics. And like, for example, I want to talk about mental illness. But as Sean and I curse each other out Thursday or Friday, look what happened. We have to talk about these stories.
Yes, and we'll definitely get to the mental illness thing at some point, because that's something that needs to be talked about. Both of us agree about that.
Yes, and talk about mental illness and campuses. Let's talk about a little bit about Louisville Cardinals head coach, basketball head coach, Rick Pitino. He's in trouble again over a sex scandal, but not that type of sex scandal that you think of. Sean Black, I know since you're a sports fan,
yes,
you have more details about it.
Yes, Rick Pitino, former New York Knicks head coach from way back when, Rick Pitino, who's now head coach of the Louisville Cardinal. Not a stranger to being in scandals that involve sex, but I'll get to that in a little bit. But what I will get to is there's a report that ESPN broke earlier last week where they have a potential sex scandal involving an escort named Katina Powell, who actually co-wrote a book about her time being an escort and helping to recruit players to come to Louisville with sex parties and getting paid and having these sex parties on campus at the dorms. This is the story. Five former University of Louisville basketball players and recruits have said that Andre McGee, who was a former assistant coach and actually played at Louisville, paid for strippers to attend nearly two dozen parties at a dorm between 2010 and 2014. Each of the players and recruits attended different parties, and at these parties, according to ESPN, there were dancers who stripped naked. Of the five players interviewed by ESPN, three of them said they attended the parties as recruits and then again when they were players at Louisville. The report is also saying that one of the former players said he had sex with one of the strippers and that McGee paid her for it. And ironically, one of the strippers that was there is Katina Powell's daughter, who actually was interviewed during this whole thing, and she talked about how this was the case. She's of age, so she became a stripper to make money. They were having these lavish sex parties on campus over the last 3 or 4 years. I think as the saying was, there was at least $100,000 paid through all of this. And what makes this worse is that Rick Pitino, the head coach, who in essence is the main person there, Rick Pitino's name has lots of cachet, has lots of clout, and he's saying he didn't know anything about this. This is wrong. We'll find out what's going on. The worst part about it is at the campus, the dorm room that happened in is Billy Minardi Hall. And for those that don't realize that, that's Rick Pitino's brother-in-law. They named that hall after his brother-in-law because his brother-in-law was killed in the 9/11 attacks at the World Trade Center. So they dedicated the name of that dorm to Rick Pitino's brother-in-law. And where a lot of these things are happening, in that dorm room. There's got to be something said for if all of this stuff is true and it's all documented, Rick Pitino has to go. This you can't survive two sex scandals, because he had a sex scandal prior back in 2009 where he actually cheated on his wife, had sex with a woman. She was pregnant and I believe paid for an abortion. So, I mean, you can't survive two sex scandals no matter how untouchable you think you are.
Well, okay, here's my theory about this, because, you know, I think outside of the box.
Okay.
What happened with those dorms and everything, with the ladies and everything, I don't find anything wrong about it. Why? Because, not because I'm a sick individual.
Well, that goes beyond, that's besides the point.
Yes. And no, ladies and gentlemen, Anisha B. did not host any of these parties. But besides that, these type of things are normal and happens all the time. These college sex parties, not like, oh my God, this is like the first time it ever happened. It happens all the time. So they just got caught. That's it. Did they do anything wrong? No, I don't think so. Okay. Not like they use my money.
Well,
here's
where we'll agree and disagree at the same time. We know big-time colleges are doing whatever they can to recruit the best athletes to come to their school. If you know you've got the next Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or the next Jordan coming out of high school and they're looking at your campus, you're going to do whatever it takes and you're going to pull out the stops. And if that means promising them things or having a beautiful woman show up at that house and say, look, if you can come to such and such university, you can expect to be dating women like me and all my friends, and you will always be taken care of. If you don't think that that's not happening at other campuses that, as you just stated, is because they got busted, they didn't know about, then I've got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you really cheap. And the sad part about it is, there's nothing wrong with having a sex party. What the problem is if you're having a sex party and it is alleged that, one, I'm pretty sure everybody knew about it, because we're talking about former players that have become assistant coaches. We're also talking about the fact that Rick Pitino, who won a national championship, he knows what he's done, he's been coaching for years and years, made tons of money. We're talking about the quote-unquote identity of the college and their morals clauses and all of the other gaga that they try to sell you on television, when you know underneath they don't care about morality. They just care about winning and making money for the campus. This is not a good look.
You just said the point right there. You go by any means necessary to make money. Yes, these kids cannot get paid, but they have to get some type of treatment anyway, right?
That's the perception.
So if I could pay someone to sleep with you, but I want you on my team, I would do it. Has Rick Pitino involved in it somehow? I'm sure he knows something, but he's taking
it. And that's the thing.
So
he continues to say he doesn't know anything. And I refuse to believe that if you are that high profile of a head coach, you know nothing about it. That's where the issue is.
No, he has to say that to cover his ass. Anybody will say that. I don't know nothing. Almost anyone will say that. Name one person you know, top of your head will come out, yeah, I knew about it, and what?
Yeah. Well, what you going to do about it? What you going to do? Fire me? I mean, come on.
Duke does it. Notre Dame does it. All these campuses does it. If it's not a woman, they give you a car. If it's not a car, a house for your mother. Not for you, for your mother.
Yeah.
You know.
We've seen many different colleges, especially with a lot of young athletes, and we know the NCAA is corrupt in general. We also know that a lot of these college campuses are doing whatever they can to win. We've also seen a lot of college campuses get cracked by the NCAA for a lot of these violations that go on. And we know that when a violation happens with a particular college because a student went and got money from somebody because they didn't have any money in their pocket, so an agent got them some burgers, or somebody's light bill was cut off, so they had to go and do that. And that's a violation of your, and you get suspended, a suspension of your scholarship or something along those lines. We've seen we've seen a lot of these students get really cheated out of a lot of things that they need. But when the shoe was on the other foot, we're seeing these big, big campuses come out, and we're going to see what happens over the next couple of weeks, because it's, I find it hard to believe Rick Pitino is going to be able to survive this. After the scandal that I just told you earlier and this, there's got to be no way, because the boosters don't want to have this attention tied to them, and you know at some point the NCAA is going to probably crack down on this, because all of this is documented in a book. She has a diary with all of the information that she's said she's done that's been verified.
Okay, but before I come up with my bombshell question, K-Dog, I'll get to you in a minute, but to Sean Black, let's for the state of argument, Rick Pitino doesn't know, for the state of it. Do you think he still should be held responsible for what happened?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. When you are the head coach of a big-time major, and I'm not talking about a minor AAA, nobody knows about college in general. If you're the head coach, you've won national championships. You've been to the Final Four many times. You have tons and tons of players from underneath you either coaching or playing in the NBA. You have to know everything that's going on. If it's something that you don't know about, and somebody tells you behind closed doors, well, you know this did happen, I'll guarantee you, every coach of every major college knows what the heck is going on with every player, every coach, all meetings, even if they're playing dice in the bathroom or whatever is the case. And the reason why that is because they don't want to have sanctions, they don't want to lose scholarships, they don't want to lose money. And if they don't know what's going on, then shame on them. This is why coaches have such – they get so much money, because they're supposed to know what's going on. The athletic department and the athletic director is supposed to funnel that down, that information, if they don't know about it. And they work in concert to make sure that everything is on the same page. If they don't know, then something is definitely wrong, and the communication line is cut in half. If they are not communicating and they don't know what's going on, then it trickles upwards. And that culture has to come down from the high ups all the way down.
All right, K-Dog, take it away.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, what's going on?
How you guys doing? Well, all I got to say is that Coach Pitino should be held accountable, because there is no way that he should not have known what was going on. I mean,
you'd have to be an idiot not to know this kind of stuff is happening on your watch.
You have to know, because this has – because let's face it, Sean, Hot Rod, how long has this been happening with college sports? I mean, we've seen it time and time again that these players – you know, these coaches are getting these players. They're fixing these players up with women. They're bringing women into these dormitories. They're having wild sex parties with these players. And you mean to tell me that, I don't know what's going on. I knew nothing about it. Come on, you have to know something about it.
You can go on Google and just Google sex parties and type in a university. And you'll probably find videos of somebody that might have uploaded something. You never know.
What? It happens.
Let me go look it up right now. Hold on, guys.
and guys, let's look at it this way. With social media, I mean, you have many videos, not just YouTube, but also you have Daily Motion. You have other video websites that shows these things. And come on, it's been going on for the longest. I mean, they'll do anything to get a certain type of player into their school. They'll say, oh, we're going to hook you up with some women. And then after, when hits the fan, all of a sudden, oh, I don't know nothing. I knew nothing about what was going on. I mean, come on. Let's face it. This is going on for the longest, and it's going to continue to happen.
Exactly.
Let me go something old school for a little bit. Talk about coaches being blamed for everything. Remember the Jerry Sandusky theft scandal what's that school again?
Penn State.
Joe Paterno.
He reported, right, to the department as reclaimed. Well, no one did I do anything about it. Was Joe still responsible back then?
In the sense that Joe knew about it, and the fact that nothing happened. It's one thing, we're not saying that Paterno actually was there to let it happen. But he, from what was told and all of the investigations that went through, Joe Paterno found out at some point. When he found out, he actually did go to the police. He actually did his due diligence then. But what it was it didn't happen immediately.
Exactly.
And that was the reason why a lot of the sanctions and everything happened then.
Happened
because
too.
It happened over a certain amount of time. Now, this particular scandal happened over a four-year span with $100,000 worth of money. We don't know where the money came from, if it came from college boosters, if it came from the department, if it came out of coaches' pockets. We don't know where the money came from, which is even more so a questionable investigation when all of this gets done, finding out where that money is coming from. If the department has got their endowment and their money is going into the stripper parties, oh, we're talking about full-scale cleaning house of the higher-ups and trickling all the way down. Because the only ones that are going to really suffer are the kids that have nothing to do with it.
And this is why, I'm telling you guys, excuse me guys for interrupting, but I just got to say, this whole scandal speaks to why there needs to be a higher standard of integrity and with these coaches and teachers alike. Because this keeps on happening. I mean, you guys should know this. I mean, you know, you're the head of something in the school. I mean, if you're that desperate for athletes, I mean, shouldn't you look at the way the athletes play? I mean, how is it that you're going to bring in all of this stuff and then after you claim you know nothing about it? That's what gets me. And the money has to come from somewhere.
Now, Hot Rod, I'm going to ask you this. Let's say, for argument's sake, that a big company, a really huge Fortune 500 company, has a rampant sexual harassment scandal going on. Let's say the CEO of the company, he has heard things happening at the businesses that he owns. And then all of a sudden it comes out that X amount of employees are suing the company or bringing out something over sexual harassment practices or something along those lines or some sort of scandal. Now, the CEO who is running the company, he's got to take responsibility. Do you think it's on the CEO to get this nipped in the bud, or do you think that it should just be taken care of at the lower level?
Should be taken care of at the lower level. That's what I'm paying people for. Don't bother me. There's something going on? Okay, Sean, Cato, you're my lawyers. Take care of it. Get rid of it ASAP.
But there is something else, though. The CEO needs to be held. You know what? If all else goes wrong, the CEO will be held accountable, and they'll start to question the CEO, no matter who he or she really is.
Yes, but as a CEO, I don't know anything, and that's my thought. I would stick to it.
Even
though
I do
know something, my job is not to know. I'm not disagreeing with you guys, but as a CEO, as a coach, or as a leader, I don't know anything to cover my ass. But I have to make sure my company is still running. Like, just like Rick Pitino, I got to make sure the basketball system is still running. I don't know anything, and that's my story.
And the problem with that is when you have that plausible deniability,
exactly.
Chances are you're going to end up getting fired eventually because it all comes down to the investigations, the hearings, and it's like if it's found out, especially, well, I don't know anything, I don't know anything.
And then it comes back.
Well, he knew something and did nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
I don't know another story about it.
Well, it does happen because look at what, like you said, about Penn State. It happened to the top person because the top person was held responsible for it. They said, you know, when everything else failed, when all else fails, and I'm sure you guys will agree with me, they'll point the finger at who's ever on top. And the person at the top will have to answer everything. And they may not, they may not know everything, but at the same time, they're going to point and say, well, you have to know something.
So basically what you guys are saying are if something goes wrong, you start with the top, then to the bottom?
You have to do the thorough investigation. But when it boils right down to it, if things are happening below you and the CEO isn't up front and center about it and saying we're doing everything we possibly can. I just found out about such and such and such. This is what we're going to do. And you have to make changes from your position to what's below you. If you do nothing, that's the problem. And what we're seeing is a lot of these places, you know, whether it's a company or whether, like you said, it's a college institution where there's some sort of a sex scandal or money laundering or drugs or whatever the things that happen. Or like with what happened with Miami, how they had the sanctions with their football team because they had an agent coming down there and getting access to the players and to the coaches.
Yeah.
The head of the organization, the AD, the president, the coach, they have to know what's going on.
Exactly.
And if they don't attack it from the get-go, it's going to be perceived that they knew something and did nothing. And that's
and
the problem.
What? That's the thing. They're going to point a finger at the top. They're going to point a finger at the top no matter what, because as the president of the CEO, or whether you're a coach or whether you're a head of anything, you got to know what's going on. That's how they feel, because you know what? Hey, this is your company. You mean to tell me you knew nothing about this?
Exactly. And much like instead of instances with the head coach in a college basketball team, unlike in the NBA or in the pros, the head coach is for the most part the end all be all. He recruits.
Yeah.
He gets the players he wants. He goes to the houses. He gets the information. He knows what he needs to do. He is the end-all, be-all. And if you don't know what's going on beneath you, then
something
has to change.
And you know what? It means getting rid of you.
Yeah, but we all attacking the coach over here and the players. Wait a minute. What about the ladies that put this book out with a tell-all?
Oh, the ladies. Well,
why
the ladies,
a woman is doing a tell-all book about people that they slept with?
And
I find that
conspiracy.
Well, I'm paying you for sex.
You know, there was an interview, and those girls and their mom, they need help. It's a sad situation, man. It's really
they're not talking about the coach anymore. This is a mother-daughter team who put their bodies out there for strip parties, and you do a tell-all book?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that's not like the mother and daughter being even more greedy. Not like they did not get paid.
Well, the mother is pimping out their daughters. That's the sad part about it.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's leave the coach thing for a minute. I mean, whatever happens, happens.
No,
let's talk about the roles of the mother-daughter and running a prostitute thing or stripper thing, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I find out there's a problem if, as a mother, you know, you put your daughter, hey, go sleep with that one, do this some parties, doesn't gain a few extra money. That is very, very sad.
Yeah, and even more so,
she
made sure that she documented everything in a diary
to
make sure that just in case the college would deny everything, she has everything up front and center.
Yep.
Now, the crazier part about this whole entire deal is the fact that when you look at everything involved, as you stated, it comes right down to, forget about all the other stuff, it comes down to a mother who was running an escort service. She has,
man,
I believe, two daughters, and I believe both of them are in the life.
Yeah.
And they have pictures of them in the life. Now, an even more important question to ask, what all of this craziness going on, at what age did these children or her daughters get into the life? Was it at the quote-unquote legal age, or was it younger? And for how long? And were they fully involved? But even more so, as you stated, Hot Rod, there's a moral issue involved with a woman running this and having her children involved in this.
Well,
that's an even crazier part.
That's a major problem.
If you're going to do a tell-all book about you sleeping with my people, do I have the right to sue you?
Yeah, because you know what? Let's just say like this, dragging the name through the mud. This is the thing with that whole mother and daughter team. I mean, I find it, personally, I think it's disgusting. I feel that you're exploiting your child if you're exposing your two daughters to a life of, let's just say, prostitution. I mean, that you're practically making sure that your two daughters are getting paid to sleep around. That, to me, is disgusting. And, you know, I mean, there's a moral issue, and you're right, Hot Rod. And, you know, it's like this. Like, let me just say one thing and one thing only. But, you know, I have to play devil's advocate in this. I mean, okay, we did mention about the lawsuit earlier, but it's her story. It's her story that she's telling, but you can't sue her. There's no way you could have a case against her because it's her word.
And the crazier part about this, as I stated before, is the fact that she has documented everything to make sure, you know, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And she has proof that what she did worked. She has text messages of herself and players. She has text messages of players referring to her and her business of other people. You brought girls. Yes, you did. I think that in the long run, in general, we've come up to a point where we are so morally bankrupt as a society that this is starting to become normal. Where we're going on college campuses, and college campuses are trying to say whatever it takes. If you remember maybe some years back, SMU almost got what they consider the death penalty for their football program because of widespread money scandals and backwater money laundering going back and forth to make sure that certain players were able to get onto the team and they could recruit whoever they wanted, and they were giving cars to players and all kinds of things like that. So the NCAA at the time, they looked at the SMU team, and basically the head coach ended up getting fired. They had a lot of players lose lots of scholarships, and they had to suspend their football program for a number of years to the point where it almost crippled the college.
Yes,
so
it did happen.
The things like this don't happen that often as far as that quote-unquote death penalty. But if you look at it from the standpoint of this is a scandal that filters down to the students, where they always talk about the student athlete with their students first, their athlete second, they're going to go to they're going to try and win at life and all of the other cliches that they use. We all know all of these campuses and all of these colleges are nothing more than minor league systems to churn athletes out until they go pro, and they make money off the backs of these players until
exactly.
then. So a lot of people are going to look at those kids and say, well, why don't they do whatever they can to get off the foot of college and see what happens then? The problem is in doing that, the college will suffer because the kids that come in after them or the ones that are there that are not involved, they're the ones that are going to suffer. And that's the problem.
They're going to pay for what happened earlier because, again, this is a moral issue. I mean, time and time again, we've seen this happen with many athletes. I mean, a couple of years back, I'm not sure, was it college or professional, where they got involved with some strippers, where they were being paid by strippers, and this whole scandal broke out, and players have to cut. Some players came out and tried to clear their names.
Yeah.
But it continues to happen. I mean, they get caught with a lot of stuff.
And if the system wasn't as corrupt, we wouldn't have the issues that go on with this allowing it to happen. And Hot Rod, as you stated before, I'm pretty sure it's not the first time that this has happened.
Nope.
And I'm pretty sure this is not going to be the last time something like that happened.
But listen, I'm in the mood to host an absolute truth stripper party somewhere in Brooklyn.
Uh-oh.
You know, I just need to find the right location. I know Anisha, you go give me a nice hookup with her girls. But besides that, let's move on with the next topic because, you know, I have a Giants game to watch. Well, let's talk about Star Wars.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Once again, social media is going crazy and talking a lot of crap on Twitter, Facebook, and others. This time it's about Star Wars, The Force Awakens. The hashtags which started appearing on Twitter Sunday night expresses objection to the fact that The Force Awakens features lead characters who aren't white males. We're saying that the movie is promoting white genocide. Excuse me.
Oh my
it's promoting
goodness.
White genocide.
How are you going to, you know, this is...
I tell you, people will find any anything to say just to remain relevant.
You know, all this racism makes me laugh, man. White genocide, how are you promoting white genocide by including a black character? How stupid that is.
Let's just get the 800-pound elephant out of the room.
Okay.
There is the issue. For people that don't realize this, that we've seen all of the Star Wars movies, the most famous evil character from the Star Wars movie, Darth Vader, was voiced by a black person.
James Earl Jones
voiced Darth Vader. Spoiler alert, if you didn't know, you should have been watching the movie.
Oh, my goodness.
And here's the problem. There are so many people that have lost perspective. It's a movie. It is entertainment.
Thank you.
There's nothing factually. If you believe this stuff
goodness.
That's in Star Wars is real, oh, well, something's wrong. But this also goes to show you, Hot Rod, that in general, the people, I don't know, I wouldn't say of America or of the world, have really lost touch with society and entertainment in general.
Thank you.
The lead character in a Star Wars movie, or one of the lead characters in a Star Wars movie, is black. Wow.
Racist.
Big deal.
So what?
There's also a Hispanic person in the lead role, in one of the lead roles also. What's going on with that? These are the same people that would probably be upset that Halle Berry won an Academy Award.
Right.
The same people that didn't like Denzel Washington winning Academy Awards or being in movies where he's in the lead role and he's getting nominated after nomination after nomination. This goes to the heart of a lot of places that think that entertainment is about the old boys network, about having the old values. And when you hear a lot of politicians, when they talk about we want our country back, that's code for the same kind of garbage that you kind of would kind of scraping the surface of with these hashtags. I think the hashtag is hashtag boycott Star Wars 7,
which is
ridiculous.
It's all over social media, Sean. It's all recently I've heard so many nasty and disgusting things about what you're promoting. How is answer me this, guys. How is putting a black person in the lead of a Star Wars movie promoting white genocide? I mean, the whole thing makes no sense.
Well,
the whole thing is stupid.
It is.
No. It makes sense if you're part of the KKK or,
part of the Aryan Nation.
True, but there have been other roles that Sean and I had talked about over the phone, how we used to have seen a white person have been taken over from a black person, but it doesn't work all the time. For example, Marvel Comics, Nick Fury, in Avengers, he was in the comic book, he was white. And out of nowhere, he becomes black, no problem. Well, remember the movie, The Fantastic Four, that came out this year that kind of like bombed the box office?
Yeah.
People have had a problem with Michael B. Jordan, which I know him personally, very nice, down to earth. I love him to death. I'm so happy for him. But he's playing Mr. Torch in The Fantastic Four. That one was a little bit spark because I understand because you cannot, it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense to have three whites and one black. And to have that token black person. And plus, you have the brother and sister, one is white, one is black. So people have questions like, how did this thing always got started,
Yeah.
Compared to having all white or black, you have a white sister and a black brother? I'm like, I understand this is 2015.
Yeah.
So you have to go old school a little bit with the comic book fans who like to stick to the paper, to the story itself.
Yeah.
Once they change Nick Fury from a white guy to a black guy, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But you have a black brother and a white sister, you have a black father.
Yeah. Yeah, and the way they explained it, because the thing is, people don't realize, is that, if I'm not mistaken in the comics, the Invisible Girl and the Human Torch, I think they're twins.
They're brother and sister,
I believe they're twins.
Yeah, as I recall,
so
they are.
The way they explained it in the movie was that they had a white mother and a black father, and that's
so
how
that means,
they got the, they had the Invisible Girl was white and the Human Torch was black. That's how they explained it. But Marvel is different in the sense that it's convoluted, but they do two different universes, and that's how they kind of explain differences when it comes to people, races, and storylines. But that's different than what we're dealing with here. This is just all out racism. And this is like a license to go out on a limb to be racist and to bring it back to the way it, quote unquote, used to be.
Well,
and
people don't realize when the trailer first came out a year ago, there was a black actor that came out in a stormtrooper suit, and people was outraged by that.
Exactly.
Now, knowing,
oh, wow, a black stormtrooper.
Oh, I remember that.
And not
and
knowing that was a lead character in the movie.
Exactly.
So,
and the premise behind that was, if anybody has seen the Star Wars movies, all of the stormtroopers were supposedly clones of one particular character. So they expected when the stormtrooper helmet came off that the character would look exactly like the character that they cloned them off of. And then they just see, wow, he's a dark-skinned black man? What's that about? So, understandably, people kind of got upset, and they kind of lost their mind. But then when they found out he's one of the lead characters, everybody lost it. They're like, are you kidding me? And they, why don't you actually wait till the movie comes out and see how the movie is before you criticize it?
Oh, people are already criticizing already because there are some people out there. I mean, Sean, Rod, listen, we have to face facts. You know, I mean, we may laugh about it, but let's face it. Racism is going to continue to be a plague. And, you know, before anybody sees anything, they're going to start judging on race. Because, guys, we watch television, right? Do you remember that Cheerios commercial where they showed the white father and the black, the white mother and the black mother?
Yes,
and they
with
have
the mixed race child, yes.
Yeah, with a beautiful, adorable little girl. Now, I remember when that commercial came out, people were jumping all over it, saying, oh, this is immoral. You're not showing the proper American family. I mean, what is the American family? I mean, this was just, and now with Star Wars, this is all senseless and stupid. It's 2015. It's not 1965. Get over it.
Yeah. And that's in all the problem. People can't let go of that ideal of the white picket fence, the mom and the dad and the 2.2 kids and the dog and the big house.
Get over it.
They can't that ideal does not exist anymore. That quote unquote American dream, and that's the problem.
Maybe they did this to promote the movie in a crazy way. Oh, wait a minute, people are trying to boycott this. You know what? Just for that, I will go see the movie myself and give my hard earned money. But not like it did not break records already.
They've already pre-ordered. They did pre-order sales. And there are places in this country that sold every single ticket for the whole entire opening weekend.
And mind you, people are buying those tickets like they're buying those tickets like hotcakes.
I could wait. I'm dying to see this movie, but I could wait. I'm just saying, folks.
I'm a diehard Star Wars fan. I very rarely have gone. I think I've only seen two or three of the movies the weekend that it opened. I can wait until the crowd dies down. I'm not going to kill myself in a movie theater per se to try and get in line and break my feet and try to have to stand up. I remember I went to see one of the Matrix movies the day it came out. And it's the only time I ever went to a movie theater and stood up for the whole movie because there was no place else to sit. All of the tickets for seats were sold out. I actually had to stand in the aisle to see the movie. So I won't do that again.
Well, okay. So let's say that maybe get my question. I was watching the commercial. sorry, folks. I'm watching a Giants game and doing the show at the same time. We died
on the show, Giants. Yeah, we got to get ready for the game, man.
All right, but let's say the movie is not all that. You think they will blame the black character because of this movie?
It depends.
Knowing the Star Wars universe, I think that if the movie bombs, it'll be much more so than just that.
Exactly.
Based on the first three prequel movies that they did, if we're going on that, and how much outrage a lot of that got, especially with Jar Jar Binks and all of the other things that happened in the movie. And that even that had a twinge of racism in it because everybody thought that Jar Jar Binks was an insult to island people because he had kind of this really fake West Indian accent. And he was just there as supposedly some sort of Yoda Futsy type, you know, character, and it did not work. So somebody will find something to complain about in the movie.
Yeah, they'll find.
You know what happened? It will still make millions of dollars. I'm sorry, not millions. Billions of dollars, billions of dollars.
Billions.
Okay. Now, y'all guys on the road today. Let's go to the Twitter question.
Okay.
And, you know, that's you? Hey, kid, we got background noise.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry. Okay, now I'm good.
All right, thank you. All right, so Sean Black, because I know you love this man, and we have to talk about him every week.
Yeah,
Donald Trump. Donald Trump said he would have prevented 9/11. What do you think about that?
Wait, repeat that again?
Donald Trump said he would have prevented 9/11 compared to George Bush. What do you think about that?
I think he's full of crap. And he has no ideals about what it takes to run. He knows how to run a company, but he has no real knowledge about foreign policy. I also heard him say something along the lines of, he, like you say, he would have prevented 9/11. He also would have done whatever he could to have relations with other countries so there wouldn't be any wars. He's just saying things. The best way I can say it is he's grabbing a handful of spaghetti and he's throwing it at the wall to see whatever strands stick on the wall. He's saying everything and anything. And although he's the leader in the poll for the Republican nomination, the numbers are starting to dwindle. And he made another comment not that long ago. I think it was yesterday. He said something about Ben Parker's religion. And I should say Ben Carter's his religion,
awesome.
And that went all through the internet and on TV. So he's going to continue to say stupid things. As I've already said, he's a carnival barker. He's going to say whatever he thinks is going to work, and
like
eventually he's going to backfire on him.
No, like I said, yes, he's a carnival barker, but people are buying into this garbage. And once again,
notice what you just said: garbage. They're into it now because we're a year out from nominations and elections. When we get to the meat and potatoes of the situation and we get into primaries and we get to really narrowing down who the serious candidates are, the American people, I'm putting a little too much credit into their sensibilities, but I would think that they would actually have a little more brains into figuring out this guy is nothing more than a carnival barker, period.
Okay, Kato, what do you think? Do you think Donald Trump will have stopped 9/11?
Donald Trump wouldn't be able to do that because, you know what, like, and I quote what Sean says, if you could run a company, you cannot run a country. And, you know, he's just saying things just to make himself be heard. I mean, all of this is just for show. I mean, does he have any policies out? No. I mean, everybody who runs for president has a policy. And so far from Donald Trump, and any of these other jokers that are running along with him, it's all just a vaudeville show. It's all a comedy show, funnier than any other show you've ever seen. I mean, it's nothing. I mean, he's just speaking just to have himself be heard. That's
okay.
All I gotta say.
Next question. Well, Kato, you have to play Anisha B role because Anisha B is not here. But this is a good question for you anyway. Playboy magazine has announced that they will change their rating to rated PG-13. That means there'll be no more nudity in their magazines or in their videos. How do you feel about that, K-Dog? Playboy becoming rated PG-13, like Maximum magazine.
Well, you know what? They're still going to have subscribers, but are they going to lose a lot? Yeah, because a lot of people, when they think about Playboy, what do you think when you see Playboy? Nudity, right? So now that Playboy
it's TNA.
Yeah, right. People are going to see TNA, and that's the thing. But however, the whole thing with Playboy, what's going to change is the subscription holders and the people that usually subscribe to Playboy. It's going to change. They're going to see a slight decline. They are going to get new viewers, but it's going to decline a little bit, if you ask me.
Yeah. Basically, Playboy has turned into Maxim, FHM.
Yeah, Maxim.
In essence, they've taken all the nudity out, and the argument from the CEO of Playboy is that you can get nudity from the internet very easily.
Yeah.
The difference is that what people liked about Playboy is usually were celebrities that were actually doing the nudity. You would probably find an unknown person that maybe is a singer or an aspiring actress that wanted to go ahead and do that and would go ahead and do something along those lines. And the issue is that when that isn't the case, a lot of people went to Playboy. Oh, well, this person's making a comeback. She's going to be in Playboy. And it usually would work that way. But now it's a little bit different. And and we hear the joke that a lot of people get Playboy and the wives see them. Why are you reading that magazine? Well, because of the stories. Playboy usually has really good journalism. And it's just sandwiched in between all of the breasts and nipples and butt cheeks. So now that they're going to replace all of that, there's still going to be women in provocative poses, but they're just going to be clothed.
Yeah.
It's basically now going to be held to a higher standard. They're still going to have good journalism and good stories.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to take a hit because a lot of people would look at the nudity.
Do you think that that's an oxymoron, Playboy, non-nudity, knowing that Playboy has been on forever with nudity?
I think it'd be an issue for people because remember, they have a 50-year or 60-year cachet of pictures and film and all of that other stuff. They won't be producing the naked films anymore, or they won't have – they're changing up their – I guess they have the Playboy channel. I guess they're going to change that up too. I'm not sure. I don't know. It depends. I mean, Hugh Hefner is sitting on billions of dollars, so I don't know how much of it's going to hurt him. But
Hugh Hefner has been at this for over 60 years, so, of course, it's not going to hurt him. It's not.
Okay, well, very good. All right, talk about – nudity and sex and all this craziness going on. How do you guys feel? I did not write these questions. I'm going to take them from Twitter, but I forgot to write the names down, so excuse me, folks, for not writing down the names.
Whoever you are, we thank you for contributing to the show.
Yes, and I was drunk when I wrote these questions down. I'm not going to lie. But besides that, how do you guys feel about Lamar Odom and Khloe Kardashian, whatever her name is, calling off the divorce after the big...
Sean, take it because I got a lot to say about this.
Okay. I'll keep this as short as I can. I have no issue if this is legit because we could tell of all the people, if anyone cares about the Kardashians at all, Khloe and Lamar Odom, they legitimately cared for one another. I said this to Hot Rod off the air earlier in the week. Where they actually legitimately look like they cared for each other. It's just that she couldn't take his drug use. And ever since he was cut from the Los Angeles Lakers, his life personally fell down the toilet. And he could never really get himself back to where he would like to be. And as a drug abuser, somebody that is on drugs, you hear there's a bottom you have to hit before you can help yourself get better. And I think that this was the bottom that he's hit, where he's had several, I think he had a heart attack. He might have suffered several strokes based on what he used, in a coma for a couple of days. Maybe it took this rock bottom to get himself right. And in the eyes of his wife, who they rescinded the divorce papers and they're still married and they're going to give it another shot, they need this. Maybe to refocus on themselves and how much they care for each other. And maybe, hopefully, this will be a good thing that comes out of it. Because that's about the only good thing out of it from the Kardashians.
All right, Sean, I'm sorry, K-Dog, take it away.
Well, what I got to say about it is that, you have to really hit rock bottom. I mean, like, Lamar Odom's case, I think this was just a wake-up call for him to get the help that he needs to beat this drug habit, you know, because he just went through a near-death experience. And Khloe Kardashian, I feel that, you know, she finally saw something that she needed to do. Like, you know, in order for him to get the help that he needed, she had to leave him. And now I think with this being said, with all that being said, I feel that this could be, we don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I feel that she needed to be with him so he could see that she loves him very much. I mean, she left everything behind just to be by his side, and that he sees the love that he needs. And so now with that, now with the divorce being, now that they put a stop to the divorce, that they're not going to go through a divorce anymore, it's time for those two to focus on each other rather than the outside look.
And I hope and pray that this does not turn into another reality show.
I hope
because
it
if it turns into a reality show, then we know what happened.
Yeah, it's going to be all fake. Because you know what? This is the thing. Lamar needs help. Lamar Odom needs some serious help. And it's up to him to get that help. It's up to him to want that help. And I feel that with Chloe by his side, Chloe's going to have to be his support system to make sure that he gets the help that he needs so he can beat this problem. And like you said, no cameras around, no reality show, just to focus on each other. That's the bottom line.
Do you guys think that this reality show was part of the problem for Lamar Odom, knowing that he was a private type of person?
Yes, it was.
On some level. Usually when you hear about these celebrities that do these shows, that brings, it doesn't necessarily make it worse. It just highlights what's going on.
Does.
We saw what happened with Hulk Hogan's family. We saw what happened with the Osbournes. We saw what happened with the Duggars, the 19 children and everything.
Yeah.
We saw it with Kate Gosselin and her 8 children. It happens to a lot of these people that think that they're going to be celebrities because of reality shows, and we realize that that brings out the worst in everybody.
It does.
Oh, well, okay.
You know, as a family, I mean, you don't want everybody all up in your business and then you bring in all of this. I mean, like the Duggars, yeah, they try to be pure and all, but like the 19 and counting, it brought out the worst. It brought out some scandals.
Well, for the record, I will do my own reality show, but I will post it on YouTube, not on national cable. I'm just saying. But the Hot Rod himself deserves his own TV show because people like me need to tell the world like it is.
Oh,
but
Lord.
My last question of the day, and I'm sure Sean Black would love this question.
Oh, boy.
Oh, what? It's something positive for once. What is your prediction for the 2015 World Series?
Being the only resident Met fan, being a Met fan since 84, being here, I have to say the Mets will beat the Kansas City Royals in 6 games. And that's what I think is going to happen. Let's go, Mets. Let's go.
And congratulations on your Mets team.
Yeah,
win over the Chicago Cubs.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And what's your prediction, K-Dog?
My prediction, the Mets in 5. I picked the Mets.
You got them in 5.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I said, to be honest with you, not trying to be biased, of course I'm rooting for the Mets, but I could see this as a tough series.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I want to say the New York Mets, but I'm like a little bit more, I'm very concerned for them because Kansas City Royals, they are a strong, powerful team as well. The Mets have better pitching, but the Kansas City Royals are not afraid with their bat. They love to hit. But here's my little pet peeve I want to address, and this is why I asked this question. So this is a little bit of my final thought.
Okay.
You know, one of my pet peeves are bandwagon fans, like people who like root for the team when they're winning.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody know I'm a diehard Yankee fan. And I'd be happy to tell people like it is. When it was in the playoffs, I told people I want them to lose. How can you say something like that? You want the Yankees to lose. The Yankees are not a good enough team to be in the playoffs. They should not be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, anything can happen, but why torture me? It made me sweat and lose sleep. Just end it for me right away. Lose now. If I knew the Yankees like they were back then in 2000, of course go all the way. You know when your team is garbage or when they're hot, as a true fan. But when I was rooting for the Mets, I'm rooting for the New York team, I got a little bit of backlash from people. How can you root for the Mets? They're not the Yankees. So what? I'm rooting for a team that's New York. I'm rooting for a team for my friends who've been suffering for a very long time, since 86. Remember, the Yankees beat the Mets back in 2000. The Mets are not my rivals. The Boston Red Sox are. The Blue Jays are. Not the Mets. So if I was wearing a Mets jersey or a Mets hat, I'd be a hypocrite. But for me to root for another team, so what? They're in New York. Don't you want to see your friends happy? Don't you want to see New York happy for once? The Mets deserve this win. They deserve to go to the World Series. They were the better team. If my Yankees has shaped themselves up, that's why Mr. Old George Steinbrenner, this wouldn't have happened. He would be firing people left and right. But that's my professional and personal opinion. So to the Yankee fans or to the people that are like me, root for the New York Mets, I got two words for you. Too bad. I'm a New Yorker. Do I support the New York Jets? Not really. I cannot say Jets fans, but when the New York are playing the Jets, I root for the Jets because the New York team.
Yeah.
December 6th, when the Jets against the Giants, of course I'm going to root for the Giants. That's my
Big
team.
Big blue all the way. Big blue all the way.
Now I got that off my chest.
Yes. Now you feel a little better now?
Yeah, I do. I just wish my two listeners heard that. That's all. But, all right, K-Dog, what is your final thought on everything? Take it away.
Okay, final thoughts on everything. As for the beginning of the show, we've talked about the violence against police officers. For me, I feel that police officers have a very tough job. Whether you like it or not, you know, a police officer is a police officer, whether good or bad. And it's a shame that a police officer lost their life in such a tragic circumstance, and the justice system needs to be fixed when it comes to violent criminals by keeping them behind bars and having them stay behind bars. And as for the college scandal, with that being said, the college scandal, I feel that Coach Paterno should be held accountable for what he knows. And also, it's a shame that this continues to happen in schools. And, you know, as for the mother and the daughter, I mean, it's a moral issue. Mothers and daughters, have some respect for yourselves and, you know, stop pimping out your daughters. Be a parent, you know. Don't disrespect yourself or disrespect your daughters that way. That's what I got to say. And as a matter of fact, guys, good show, and let's go Big Blue.
Yes. Thank you.
Let's go Big Blue. Thank you so much, K-Dog. Till next time.
Hey,
and
welcome,
as always,
guys.
K-Dog, the pleasure was
the
all
pleasure
mine.
The pleasure was all yours. Later,
all right,
guys.
K-Dog.
All right.
Later. Sean Black, I'm sorry, not Sean Black. Anisha B, take it away. What's your final thought?
I don't know. You're a jackass.
Okay, thank you, Anisha B. Sean Black, what is your final thought?
My final thought is, let's go Mets! Oh, yeah, that's my final thought. I just had to.
Hey, listen, I'm not mad at that at all.
I want you to get up now.
Yes.
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell,
let's go, Mets! Let's go, Mets!
There you go.
Let's go, Mets! Let's go, Mets!
Let's go, Mets, yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, I have another caller at this time now? Hold on.
Really?
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Yo, this is Brother B. I had to call in, man. It was a rough night at Foxwoods. I ain't getting until like 5 in the morning. I'm sorry.
My goodness.
You sound like it.
Whoa, you sound like you got run over by something. You okay?
A lot of whiskey sours, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man.
So, Brother B, how you doing?
I'm still here, man. I should have just stayed on the side of the road in Foxwoods somewhere. I probably would have been okay.
Oh, man. I hope you wasn't driving.
No.
Okay.
I'd have been on the news. No.
Okay.
No. Okay, I'm glad to hear. Let me see. What topic should we give Brother B to talk about for a minute, Sean Black?
The Mets!
I knew you would say that.
Yeah, actually, give him the Patino topic. You throw that at him and see where he goes with that.
Rick Pitino, have you heard about him from Brother B?
He's been
traveling again. Rick Pitino he's a Louisville Cardinals basketball head coach, and his players were involved in sex parties that he knew nothing about.
Allegedly, he allegedly says he knew nothing about.
So basically, if he did not know anything about these sex parties that happened in the dorms of recruiting new people, basically they were recruiting new people and they were offering them free sex from ladies. Do you think he should be held accountable for that?
Oh yeah, like this. How do you get first of all? How do you just say, oh, listen, if he's done, I'll fool him with this stuff. Like, really? Like, what kind of, like, give me money. That's the whole way, like, money. Doesn't make sense. Like, this is what I'm telling you.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you a little bit, Brother B. You sound far off.
No, you need to be held accountable for that. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, first of all, who's gonna? I don't want sex. I want money. Like, sex don't last as long as money. I mean, sex is good, but it's not as gratifying as money.
Makes sense.
You're very true about that.
Like, you know, I can go buy me a plate of food and some alcohol. You know, sex can make me sleepy. So no. Honestly, you're like, yo, what is wrong with these dudes? See, like, supposedly an adult. Like, you're in a certain position. What makes you think that recruiting and then offering these kids sex is supposed to get them to, like, join the team?
Yeah, that was the whole point, to join the team, because these players are supposed not to get paid, so you get, you know, some type of ritual, like a house for your mother or some free sex, because, you know, you're 18 years old, might be still be a virgin, so here you go, some free vaginas just to join our team. But these type of things happen on campus all the time. Just that this campus got caught. So, like I told Sean Black, I don't feel sorry for no one, because this is not nothing new at all. It's just that they got caught.
Well, yeah, I mean, why should you feel sorry for them? Like, what sympathy are you looking for? Like, dude, I mean, it's basically prostitution, what's going on, and it's going on the college campus. Bad enough, these colleges are charging kids like X amount of parents, X amount of dollars per year to go there. And then on top of that, I mean, look what else is going on. Like, they should be ashamed of themselves. Even though the overall college may not have known about it, still know, then again, somebody had to know something.
But as I stated before, if you're Rick Pitino, you're the head of that basketball umbrella. And no matter what your athletic department head says or the president says, you're Rick Pitino. Everything funnels through you. There's not a scholarship you don't know about, a player you don't know about, a violation you don't know about, or a potential violation you don't know about that doesn't go through you. And for you to say that you knew nothing about anything that went on, and you have which is even worse, as I had stated earlier, that these sex parties were happening in dorms, and the dorm that was there is actually named after your brother-in-law, who passed away during 9/11. To have that being the case, something's wrong.
Okay,
you don't know about it?
No, that's crazy.
Well, let me throw this question to Brother B. Do you know anything about Star Wars?
Of course. Listen. You don't ask me a question like that.
So, you almost went Yoda on that
Star Wars. Like I was living under a rock 41 years.
So what do you think about the boycott of Star Wars, that people are boycotting Star Wars because they're calling it a white?
You don't want me. You really. Well, first of all, it's just me, you, and Sean Black. Who else is here?
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What up, Sean Black? Listen.
You got four minutes left. It's all yours. Take it away.
And I'm going to say it to you racist assholes who really seem to think that this man, George Lucas, and whoever else is conspiring to bring about whatever BS because they made a black person, put a black person in the lead role, your mother should have aborted you.
Wow.
Your mother really should have aborted you. Like, you're stupid. Like, you're nothing but a race baiter and you're nothing but a hater. That's all you are. Like, first of all, just because George Lucas is actually married to a black woman, you're probably mad because you're not even getting any parts of that juice. But that's besides the point. The point is this. Darth Vader, his voice, Darth Vader had the voice of a black man. You ain't have nothing to say then. Oh, why? Because you couldn't see his face. So now all of a sudden, what you want to boycott? Listen, to you race baiters, you guys should have been dropped off on the mattress and swallowed. Like, I'm getting really tired of people coming, talking out of turn with all this racist stuff. It's 2015. Get over it. We're here and we're not going nowhere. Unless you're going to blow up every project and every ghetto and start putting us in concentration camps, we're not going anywhere. So just stop it. It's a damn movie. Enjoy it and shut up. Because you know you're going to watch it any damn way.
Mic drop.
Shut up.
There we go. We were waiting for that one mic drop moment, and there you go.
Brother B, you still got all the way? Thank you. I really do appreciate that. I owe you whiskey sour for that statement.
Some whiskey sours, man. They still passing through. That's ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
Okay. We got 3 minutes left. Brother B, what's your topic for Wednesday's show?
How to stay sober when you wake up.
Yeah, you know, actually, I'm going to be probably hitting the nerve. It's going to be about the kids of this lost society that we live in right now. I got a friend that's going through something, and a son that just got arrested. And I'm wondering why kids do seem to think that violence, this generation seems to think violence is the answer. Why are they rushing to violence? Like, what the hell is so wrong in your life or the life of your inept parents for you to try to go towards violence? Like, what the hell is the problem? So,
wow,
yeah, Wednesday, this is what it's going to be about, man. And I'm going to be jumping in every black person. I don't give heck they like me or not. But we got to be held accountable for the stuff that's going on. We can't control our kids, but there's certain things we can control, and we're not doing anything about it.
Yeah, that's definitely something I'm going to listen to.
I have a friend that's going through a similar situation that he's been to jail for because his daughter lied on him and told the people at school that he hit him, they hit her. So, of course, he called the cops, he got arrested. Why? Because he's being a real father. Well, he won't let his daughter interact with other teenagers. But, you know, teenagers told her, like, oh, wait a minute. Tell them that your father hit you so you will get your freedom. It's all about the freedom. So that's a good topic I would like to call, too. If you do your show to an hour and a half instead of an hour, because I don't get home until, like, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm probably doing an hour and a half, 2 hours, because I'm going in. I'm going in. They might want to take my black card after this.
Well, Mr. B, thank you so much for calling in. Please plug in your show.
Thank you for having me. Oh, yeah. The menu, Brother B, Mika, Nicole, this Wednesday, 8 o'clock p.m., you know, going to do a show. Society has lost children, man. We got to find out what's going on. But thank you, Hot Rod and Sean Black, for having me.
No,
let me yell at these humans for a hot second, because that Star Wars thing is crazy.
Yes, it is.
All right, Joe Black, thank you so much.
And may the force be with you.
Yes, may the force be with you.
Force be with you, too. And Sean Black,
right, brother
B, as always, the pleasure was all yours.
Yours, exactly.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, man, I love this show.
Yes.
All right. Later, Sean. Let's go Giants.
Let's go Giants, because they need us.
Oh, of course. All right, man. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
All right. I got 20 seconds left.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm sorry. I just tuned in. I just called in.
Oh, man. I'm totally sorry. But tune in next week for another show. We have 13 seconds. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in. Take care now. We just had no caller. After you hung up, it was like 30, 20 seconds left. I'm like, wait a minute. Is there somebody calling us? I'm like, hello? And the woman like, hi, I just tuned in. I was calling on the show. I'm like, I'm sorry, man, but we have like 15 seconds left for the end of the show. Oh, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I just tuned in. I'm like, me too. I'm sorry, too. Well, I'm calling next week. So, all right, no problem. A brand new caller with like a 551 number.
Okay.
That's like, I've never seen this number before. I'm like, wow. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, damn it. Of course, the show got hot at the end. Go figure. Now, Bob was okay with today's show. We kept it going. I like it when we cover a lot of topics.
Yeah.
All right, came on, brother. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he don't even work with me as always, but hey, just can't go. He's very supportive. I just need that female voice. This, for the first time, we had an all-male panel. But I just need that female voice. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Now, if I ain't got a female, of course, I had to hang up on her. Go figure.
You said it was a 551
area code? I believe so, yes, 551. Jersey. Go figure. Go figure. Now, I think it was a 51-2. This is my luck. That's a fucking Cowboys in the floor. I should tell you, can you come back in the next 5 minutes? I'll do the show over again just for you. Yeah, but we're about to hit a topic that we're about to call right away. Either with a song one or about the daughter thing. Oh, all right, well, I got something cleaning. I'll probably bet I'll be calling while I'm watching the game. Yeah, well, she's in her mood lately. She's got to cancel my show. Oh, yeah. So every time we're trying to get ready for a show, she wants to do something. I'm like, listen, you need to leave, right? It's going to be embarrassing. You have to leave by 3:45. I cannot help you when it's time for me to do the show. It's 3:50. I'm like, oh, this doesn't, can we go now? I'm moving. I'm like, I know you're doing this shit on purpose. It doesn't piss me off. I don't know, but like I said, I followed the sales department, so I'll go watch my wrestling later. All right, Jesus love you. All right. Thank you.
Oh.